The power of conspiring. Do you see the picture on the front of your order of worship? It's perhaps a little less profound than Fannie Lou Hamer. However, I was babysitting a dog that day of a friend, and my animals gathered, all three together, and they were looking at each other. And I missed the moment when they were all seemingly making eye contact, but they were. There was a moment where, from my spot on the couch, it really did feel like they were hatching a plan. And that made me think about the difference between conspiring and collaborating, and why conspiring felt like it was so much more right in that moment. And more than that, it suddenly felt like that's a little bit more of the energy we need in the world right now, in our communities, a little bit more of the subversive, rebellious, strategic nature of conspiring. Now, Google will tell you that the main difference between collaborating and conspiring is intent and openness. Like, collaborating means working together openly to create or achieve a positive shared goal, and conspiring means secretly plotting together to do something, this is Google's words, illegal, harmful, or wrong. Now, let me just be clear, I'm not advocating for any of us to do anything harmful or wrong. Illegal, we're going to talk about in a minute. And I don't think my sweet animals were trying to do anything that would cause harm either, but secretly plotting some shenanigan to cause some good trouble or get something that they needed, I could believe that. In general, I think we all agree that collaborating is seen as more socially acceptable and lovely, mature. It's done out in the open with shared knowledge. The goal is to build or make or solve something useful, like a project or art. The tone is honest and helpful and transparent, but it assumes that everyone wants the same thing, and everyone needs to want the same thing at some base level in order for collaboration to work. In an ideal world, all we would do is collaborate to bring about necessary change. I collaborated with Jude and several others, Kathleen and Dean and Mike, on this new art experiment, wanting to highlight the talents of our members, and in this case, honoring Fannie Lou Hamer, a woman who spent her life fighting for justice, being persecuted, harassed, threatened, and choosing to speak anyway. And not everyone knew every plan she had, but it wasn't, not everyone knew every plan I had in the process of this experiment, but it wasn't a secret. And there are going to be lots of opportunities to share your thoughts and opinions and ideas about artists and art that we might host in the future. That is collaboration, I hope. But conspiring, that is secret work, hidden from the public view or the authorities, with the goal being to trick someone, maybe, or break the rules. And the tone is sneaky and edgy, and I would argue sometimes necessary. Conspiring is what must be done sometimes when not everyone seems to want the same thing. Sometimes getting results means a little rule breaking, especially when the rules are unjust. And it requires a willingness to risk something for the reward. And it's important to know why you are conspiring. Love has to be at the center of your movements and your intentions. The people fighting for racial justice and voting rights in Fannie Lou's time had to conspire for justice, if you will. Did you know that she organized 18 people to go to Indianola, the county seat, to register to vote? And even though it was legal, there were so many barriers in place that of the 18, only two were allowed to take the illiteracy test to prove that they qualified to vote. White people never had to take that test, and it was written intentionally to make it impossible for anyone to pass. And then on the way home in that same bus, they were stopped by a police officer because the bus was too yellow. For real. When laws like that are used and in play, a little conspiring is necessary. And I wish we weren't facing such unjust enactment of laws right now, still affecting our immigrant neighbors and people of color disproportionately. Remember our U.S. Congressman and civil rights leader, John Lewis, who said, "Do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble. Necessary trouble." How many of you were alive, if you care to say, you don't have to, how many of you were alive in 1964? Oh, look around. You're a part of the struggle then, and I'm sure it's very discouraging to realize you still have to be part of the struggle now. Justice is the work of a lifetime, of many lifetimes, and we are hopeful still. Now, African Americans are allowed to vote, but there are still so many barriers in the way that having those voices heard takes so much more effort than it should. As UUs and people of conscience, we are willing to get into some good trouble. And I wonder what form that will take as we come up on another election season, and as folks are still being unfairly treated and harm is being caused by unjust laws. In Southern Maine, routinely, my colleagues and other UUs and people of faith gather outside the workplaces of immigrant workers to welcome them into work and shepherd them home safely at the end of the day, providing a barrier between them and ICE operatives. My friend Hillary and the minister in Yarmouth recounts a time when she was spontaneously hugged from behind as an immigrant mom wept and thanked her as she was beginning her day and as being escorted home. Those gathered in place there know that at any moment, some authority figure in our government could decide to invoke some ridiculous rule or law, or decide force is warranted to remove them from their place of witness and protection. They are making good trouble, and they are taking real risks. And I support them, and I believe with my whole heart that if such a need or opportunity arose here, we would be part of those standing between harm and love. While again, I wish that we could solve all the world's problems with only the transparency and trust inherent in collaboration, there is a time for a little secret strategizing. A little rule breaking in the service of keeping people safe, centering love, living our values. People of the Underground Railroad who moved enslaved people from Mississippi to Maine. Those who hid Jewish people in attics and storage sheds. Our very chalice was a symbol of a conspiracy to get Jews to freedom during World War II. We are part of a long legacy of getting into good trouble, necessary trouble. Two stories. On June 9th, 1963, Fannie Lou Hamer and several fellow activists were returning from a citizenship training program in Charleston, South Carolina, when their bus stopped in Winona, Mississippi. In an act of protest, several members of the group sat at the bus station's whites-only lunch counter. You know this story. The most powerful conspiring, this is what moved me, can be done only with the eyes. I have to imagine that in that moment, those people looked at one another, they made eye contact, and they knew. They knew what they had to do, and they knew what it might cost them. But they broke the rules, the law, even. They conspired together to bring all of us and all of their people ever closer to who we need to be as a nation. They opened their hearts to those who never considered. They opened the hearts of those who never considered that injustice before. And as you know, not long after they sat down at that whites-only counter, the police removed them, arrested six of them, and then in jail, Fannie Lou Hamer testified. One of her jailers came forward and said, "You are going to regret that you were ever born." They were beaten by police and by other African American inmates who were forced to use blackjack weapons against them. The damage done to Hamer's eyes, legs, and kidneys would affect her for the rest of her life. I honor her, and I wish it hadn't been necessary. And I pray we are part of and continue to work for a world where that is never, ever necessary. And one last snippet that I think is equally important. Fannie Lou Hamer not only turned her energy outward to change those people and laws who might oppress her, but she also turned her energy toward her own people, encouraging and sometimes bribing them into bravery, into their own good trouble. She wasn't afraid of controversy. In 1962 and 63, she was working for desegregation and voter registration, and she also became involved in relief work. She distributed food and clothes to the poorest Delta residents, and she knew what poverty was. She was the 20th child in her family, 2-0. She understood that the fight for economic security was a crucial component of the civil rights movement, and at the same time, she was willing to use those very precious food and clothing donations as leverage and would sometimes refuse to hand over food until those people agreed to go register to vote. Maybe we won't do that, but we have to do the work in. And we have to do the work out. So my point, what is my point? It is not really about breaking the rules. Honestly, it's not. I really don't want you all to go out there and make eye contact with one another or with strangers and then do something that will get you arrested. However, if you ever find yourself in that situation and you were living your UU values in service of love, it would be okay with me if you use the excuse, "My minister told me to." I will meet you there with bail money in hand. Really, I want to honor the complexity and the intensity of this moment that connects us through generations of freedom fighters and workers for justice. I want us to see ourselves in one another and in Fannie Lou's eyes. I want us to sink into the deep down knowing that we are all on the side of dignity and integrity and kindness and opportunity for all, and we are not alone here. We are part of a conspiracy for justice that requires a little good trouble now and then. The power is in seeing and being seen for what we love and what we are willing to do to protect that love and how we will live into what that love asks of us. May it be so, and amen.